The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of our Lord. Years ago, when I was at a Women of the ELCA event, there was a great workshop on prayer. The woman giving the workshop shared this story, and it's a true story about a woman named Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a missionary who lived at the turn of the 20th century. She was raised as a faithful Christian and learned from her mother that God would always answer her prayers. As a young girl, she was upset that she was born with brown eyes, not blue eyes. So one night, she told her mother that she was going to pray that God would change her brown eyes to blue. Of course, the mother was a little concerned, expecting that the brown eyes would still be brown, and she didn't want her daughter to lose faith that God would hear her prayers. And as we all probably expect, when Amy Carmichael woke up the next morning, her brown eyes were still brown, and she was quite disappointed. So Amy's mother spoke with her and explained that sometimes God's answer is no, but also that there might be some greater plan. Years later, as a young woman, she felt a call to missionary work and eventually ended up in India. At that time, it was common practice to abandon or to sell baby girls to certain temples where they would be forced into becoming temple prostitutes, something that is now against the law. Amy Carmichael comes into the story because with her brown eyes, skin darkened with coffee, and wearing local dress, she looked like she belonged. This meant that she could travel to the temples looking for abandoned or sold baby girls and pick them up without being conspicuous. She just looked like a temple worker or a local herself, so she wasn't given a second look. With help, she opened a sanctuary for these girls and eventually helped to save abandoned little boys as well. In this way, she was able to change the lives of over 1,000 people. She lived in India until her death and spent countless hours caring and praying for the young people in her charge. Of course, as beautiful as this story is about prayer, where God appeared to be saying no and how it led to something greater, it would be disingenuous and a little too simplified to say that whenever our prayers seem unanswered, that God is saying no and that there is some greater reason. The reality is that there is no easy answer as to why some prayers appear to be answered and others don't, especially when the unanswered prayers are for the good of this world. We pray for gun violence to end, for wars to cease, for people to survive illnesses and accidents, for bad weather events to be less severe, and so much more. Yet, people are shot every day, wars rage on, people succumb to illness, and heat waves and tornadoes and all kinds of unpleasant circumstances continue to exist. And this might lead us to ask, well, why should we even keep praying if we don't see anything positive coming to us, especially in those prayers that we pray about a world that we believe and have faith is more in line with what we think God would like this world to be like, a world with more peace and justice. I believe that one reason we continue to pray is because of what Jesus tells us in this passage from Luke. Through prayer, we are invited into relationship, and into this relationship with a God who is loving and who does not give up and who ceaselessly works for the redemption of all of us and for creation. These beginning verses in Luke chapter 9 are a beautiful reminder of the relationship that God has, the one that remains between God and all of humanity, one that is nurtured and strengthened through prayer. We hear in those first words of the Lord's Prayer, God is our Father, sacred and holy. And then later in verse 13, at the end of the passage we read this morning, we are given a reminder that of what fathers do for their children. Jesus is telling his disciples and is telling us that God is trustworthy and honestly listens when we pray. In the same way that a good father is trustworthy and takes his children's concerns to heart. When we look at today's reading from Genesis, we see that those who have written and preserved scripture had a sense that God takes the prayers of humans seriously enough to be persuaded by them. In these verses, we learn that God has learned that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are doing something horrible. We don't know what it is, but we know that God had planned to go and visit, see if the word was true, and then punish them if it was by destroying the cities. And then Abraham prayed. Over and over again. Abraham appeals to God's sense of justice by talking about the injustice of the consequences of the people who were righteous in those large cities being punished in the same way as the people who are wicked. Abraham's intercessions have the possibility of saving the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah because God is honestly and faithfully listening to Abraham. In the end, it seems that there weren't even 10 righteous people. The only righteous people left were Lot's family, but their lives were spared. A verse that we didn't read this morning, one that comes at the end of this entire story in the following chapter reads, "So, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham. And he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived." We can trust that God will listen. Things may not end up as we prayed they would, but deep in my soul, I have faith that God was still listening in earnest. And while the most important lesson is that God is a trustworthy listener of our prayers, we can't also ignore the importance of persistence, the importance of continuing to pray. Abraham prayed to God with six different versions of what it would take to save Sodom and Gomorrah. There are verses that tell us to pray without ceasing. And we have Jesus' words this morning encouraging us to be persistent in what we pray for. This idea sometimes is taken with a little bit of a negative connotation, like we're being asked to nag until we get our way because we're getting annoying. But I heard a new and slightly different translation of several versions of this morning's gospel. And it made me think about this a little bit differently. The translation is from the First Nations version of the New Testament. And two verses from Luke 9 read, "So keep dancing your prayers, and the way will open before you. Search for the ancient pathways, and you will find them. Keep sending up your prayers, and they will be heard. Answers will come to the one who asks. Good things will be found by the ones who search for them, and they will open before the ones who keep dancing their prayers." What struck me in this translation was that it takes away the familiar and concrete objects like doors and the language of asking for something and receiving it. And in doing so, provided me with a sense of the spiritual relational side of prayer. In other words, the transactional nature of how we can sometimes think of prayer was moved to the side just a little. And the idea of prayer being a way in which our hearts and minds can be open to God in a way that nothing else can, this is what became a little more apparent. And for me, this is the second reason why we should pray. Because it changes us. So dance your prayers and search for the good things, trusting that God is listening in earnest, that God is watching that dance, ready to help us all find the good things. Amen.